So as you can tell, I've already been emotional. This has been a tough week for all of us. And it's just interesting times. What I'm going to do is, before we share together, we're going to have a time of sharing. I want to read from Isaiah 58. And I'm going to start us off with just giving you a little bit of a, well, telling you about my experience of this last week. Listen to God's word. Cry aloud, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their transgression, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the judgment of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments, they delight to draw near to God. Why have we fasted and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it? Behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice to be heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh, then shall your light break forth like the dawn. And your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call and the Lord will answer. You shall cry and he will say, "Here I am." If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, if you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in the darkness, and your gloom be as the noonday, and the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places and make your bones strong, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. And your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the fountain, the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. If you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it not going your own way or seeking your own pleasure or talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Our scriptures have a lot to say about injustice. And it's, I think, oftentimes easy to overlook some of these passages. I think for me, this week has been challenging. And as you know, I shared with you a few, just 3 or 4 weeks ago, that my family was already struggling over what happened in Georgia. And more than that, we saw a video of a woman named Breonna Taylor, who was also killed by police a few weeks ago. And then we have this week with this terrible murder. And when I see that, I feel like the Lord needs to come back to heal us. But I also have this conviction. When I watch that video, there's this terrible person who's kneeling on somebody else's neck. And he's doing the murdering, but one of the terrible things of that picture is the three other people who are standing there and watching, and they're listening to the pleas of the crowd and the pleas of the man on the ground. And instead of protecting the man on the ground, they protect the oppressor, and they're protecting the person that is doing the killing. For me, this is difficult because it's symbolic to me. In my experience, which has been short-lived, really, but in my experience and conversations with my Black friends and family members, this experience is frequent and common for them. This story is not new, and it's not even shocking. It's not surprising. It's commonplace. And I feel like our Black brothers and sisters have been crying out for the white church to listen. And it's been really easy for us to give excuses while the oppressor kneels on the neck. It's been easy for me to give excuses and to explain away and to not hear the pleas for help. And so when I watched that video, it connected to me a lot of my experience and a lot of the difficulty it has been for people because of the color of skin like mine to hear the cries of other people. And the Bible talks greatly about injustice. And I think there's also a spiritual component in play because on this Sunday of Pentecost, where we celebrate the fact that all of us as Christians are sharing the Spirit of God together. We have this obligation and we have this invitation to see and hear the cries of those who are pleading for us to see and to act. And so when I read Isaiah 58, and when I hear the cries of my brown-skinned brothers and sisters in Christ, and I see how difficult it is for us to act and come alongside, I'm convicted by it. And as you know, last September, part of my story is a desire to lead God's church in dealing with this issue specifically and dealing with it well. Part of my desire is to be able to speak even when it's difficult to speak. For me, my experience, if there's one place I would like to be, it'd probably be at home right now, just hugging on my wife and my kids. And that's what I would prefer to be doing instead of having to speak, because speaking is difficult and it's easy to get it wrong. But church, what I want to do is speak to you and invite you to come alongside. Instead of coming alongside the oppressor to be able to hear the pleas of the oppressed. To recognize that God calls us to see and to hear and to act. One of the things that the elders have been doing is walking through this racial reconciliation group and program. And it was interrupted by coronavirus coming in the end of wintertime. But it's one of the things that we as a church have come around and we want to explore together. And there's no better way to do that than to recognize this morning the specific challenge we have as God's people and God's church. And although most of you share the same skin color as me this morning, we still have something to say, that we still have work to do, that we still can see what we have refused to see. I remember when I was in third grade, I told you this story before, I was having a hard time seeing the board in class. And a teacher had me sit up in the front row, and I didn't know what was going wrong. I just thought I had to come up close to see clearly. And I didn't know that anything was different than anybody else's experience. And my parents took me to the eye doctor, and they found that my eyes were really bad. I'd been staying up late at night reading in low light because I love to read books. And I remember when I walked outside, I wasn't really inside the doctor's office, but I walked outside for the first time with my glasses on. I remember looking at tree leaves and seeing the distinguished beauty of each leaf for the first time in years. I remember recognizing that moment, that beauty had been there, and those leaves had been there, and those trees had been there, and all of their beauty and distinguishing factors, but I had not seen them because of my own inabilities. When I watched this video this last week, it just pulled in together to me this truth that there's things that we don't see that God calls us to see. And there's action that God calls us to take. And there's movement that God calls us into because God's word has so much to say about injustice. And so we can't talk about the gospel without talking about how the gospel impacts justice. Justice is centered in the gospel. And so we as believers have work to do. We have to come alongside and we have to help and lift up. So church, my invitation to you is to grieve with those who grieve. In the middle of this darkness, it's okay to recognize what we don't see, but to make a commitment to come alongside.